Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference. This is Annika Jackson on Your Brand Amplified, and I am thrilled today to have somebody with a super sunny, exuberant personality who's definitely lifting my spirits. Ray Bamkin, all the way from Victoria, Australia.
Why, Annika? That's a lovely, warm introduction. I really appreciate that. But yeah, I am in lovely, and of course, in my end of the world, it's summer, so it's beautiful and warm, and I suspect in your end of the world, it's getting frosty and cold.
Well, I'm in California, so it's...
Oh, okay. It's never frosty and cold in California.
So it's sunny and warm here, but everywhere else in the U.S., absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
You wear many hats. You are a keynote speaker. You are an author. I can't wait to talk about your book. You are a laughter yoga facilitator. I have to hear more about that. And executive director of BNI Melbourne. Central.
It doesn't feel like I do a lot. Well, I think when you get in the flow, then you kind of know what
and
you're doing.
And it's all connected.
Right? When it you're is doing all connected. Love.
Yeah.
It is.
So BNI, I know some people who are listening may not know what BNI is. So I'd love for you to talk about what that is and how did you become the executive director? Why did you decide this was the business for you?
Wow. How far back do we go, Michelle? Like, we can go back to the 80s if you want. I will actually briefly go back to the 80s.
Yeah, please do.
Because I am that old, which gives me credibility, right? That's what every gray hair is an ounce of credibility. So in the 80s, I had my first real job, and I worked in commercial textiles selling to architects and interior designers. And I was new. I was straight out of university. I knew everything, but of course I knew nothing. And so my very first boss said to me, if you want to succeed in this business, you need to learn how to network. And that was a word. I didn't even know what that word meant. It was the 80s. It wasn't a thing like it is now. And she proceeded to teach me over the next couple of years how to make that work. And gave me a really solid foundation on how to build business through referrals. And it's about really networking is the start of your funnel. And then you start from there, you start to find people that you want to build relationships with. You build relationships with a select number of people. You help them. And over time, the collective of that really helps you to grow your business. So people think networking is going out and handing out business cards. That's kind of like the top of the funnel. So I learned how to do that really well. But fast forward to the 2000s, and I was working as a national sales and marketing manager for a mattress company, and I had bought one of their franchises, and I was telling all the other franchisees, and here I am, the national sales manager, you've got to get out there and network to start building relationships to get referrals into your business, because, you know, retail is tough, so you've got to have other ways of getting revenue. And one of them said to me, so where do you network? And I went, you know, I kind of let that lapse, and I hadn't done any serious networking for about 10 years at that stage.
Oh my gosh.
So coincidentally, the very next day, some random person that I met through a random event asked me to come to this thing called BNI. I'd never heard of it. I rocked up and I went, where has this been all my life? So I joined as a member. I became a really successful member, and I saw how it changed people's lives. And eventually, as the saying goes, I ended up buying the business. So that's a very long answer to your short question.
No. That's a great answer, because I think that's where a lot of us find ourselves, right? You started a company, you start thinking about the best parts of what you do and what you bring to the table. And being successful in sales and marketing is all about networking and forming those relationships. Yeah. So now you're able to take that and help other people figure out how to better form relationships.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I did a master's of marketing. I don't know when that was, probably the late 90s, early 2000s. I think I graduated. And there was one section where we were talking about relationships in business and how marketing helps you to foster relationships. And I remember thinking, there's so much more to this. And this was like postgraduate course. So it's not an insignificant course. And it was this tiny, tiny sliver about relationships. And of course, the reality is that marketing and engaging with potential clients is all about building relationships, right?
Exactly.
So I kind of remember thinking at the time there was a disconnect. We were talking about the process of marketing and the execution of marketing, but never really the end game and building relationships. And, you know, I never worked in corporate marketing. I worked in retail marketing. So I worked in telco for a long time. So I knew about how to talk to consumers, but we never really discussed how to really build the relationship long-term. And today it's so easy because of the tools that we have, and it's all moved to relational and micro-marketing. So it's a really very exciting time for anyone that's marketing at the moment.
I love that you say that, because on the other side, I teach for digital media management program, and you know, we're talking about the funnels and people can come in at any phase, but here, if your awareness versus interest and all of the different ways that people get to the part where they want to make a purchase or they want to, you know, interact with you, and they have to have that know, like, and trust factor, and they have to kind of know who you are. So everything you're saying is so true, but I also feel like there's so much overload digitally with how people connect or how people try to connect with each other. And so I'd love for you to talk a little bit about what BNI does and how you approach the networking. Who's an ideal candidate for BNI?
Well, can I talk about it at a macro level first?
Yeah.
Because I think that will kind of like lead into that question. I think where most businesses, particularly small businesses, small and medium businesses, don't do well is they aren't clear about their ideal customer, who they want to connect with and why. And underpinning that is they tend to not really understand their brand values, and they don't tend to understand what their business stands for. And in today's digital world, it's very easy to communicate to your potential tribe, because that's what you're really talking to, who you're really talking to, what you stand for and where your brand and your business really lays down its anchor. And when people feel that your business talks to their values, they are lifelong customers. They're never going anywhere. And you see successful large companies doing that really well these days. I mean, the obvious one is Apple. They have a really clear kind of thing that they talk to. And so, you know, I'm a rusted on Apple person because I think I'm cool and hip. I'm a rebel. But, you know, the values really speak to me, and it really works. And everything that they do speaks to my values. And so there's no reason why a micro business even can't do that today, because we all have tools available to us. So it's very important to get very niche and don't be everything to everyone. Unless you've got the budget of Coca-Cola or Apple, you can't market to everyone. And you know, the first thing I say to people when they join BNI is, who is your dream client? Okay. Get really specific, down to a name. Tell me the company.
You're preaching to the choir here. Because I teach branding and PR and branding, and I have, like, this semester I had my students go through and brand themselves, right? Create their personal brand, because that is how they're going to know how to sell themselves to the companies that they want to be employed by when they finish their master's. And then I've said it's the same concept when you are working with a client. You have 100%. To know your whole blueprint, mission, vision, values, purpose.
Absolutely.
Then that rolls into your persona and naming your ideal customer. Calling them, you know, Sheila, and how old is Sheila? And does she have any kids? She's single. What music does she listen to? Yeah, so I love this, that you're completely speaking my language. And
well, we're marketing people, right? Yeah,
people forget these steps.
I know, it's so basic. And, you know, they think it has to be complicated, but it's not. Find a picture of someone that represents your ideal customer, stick it on your whiteboard and look at that person. I have somebody that I look at every day and she is my ideal customer. I know where she's hanging out. I know what the problems she has in her business are. I know exactly. And, you know, every time I do some sort of collateral, I go, oh, how would this person feel about this? But I love what you said. I know we're kind of snaking around, but I love what you said about vision, mission, and values. I talk about it slightly different these days. Yeah. I think this with a little bit of nuance in that. Now, I talk about purpose, intention, and connection. Ew. So purpose is really, so vision is really purpose, but purpose is a word that I think resonates with people. Vision is like I think that's 10 years ago, but what's your purpose? What's your business's purpose? And I love that you say this about people, because as a person that's marketing themselves, you've got to know what your purpose is. Where do you want to take your career and your life? And if you're a business owner, where do you want to take your business? And then what is the intention? So that's the mission. How are you going to make that happen? How are you going to execute on that? And then connection is how you actually get to really connect to those people. And that is what we would talk about as values. And if any of your students are listening, and I'm sure they listen to you every week, I would say to them or anybody else new in marketing or even existing in marketing, find your three values, spend some time, sit down, find three values that really resonate with you and anchor your actions and endeavors to those three values. And if you do that, it's like a compass in your life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. So when you're speaking to somebody, you frame it that way to figure out who the best people are for them to network with.
Yeah. So if you are very clear about all of those things, so BNI is a membership organization. People join, they come to a weekly meeting. It's a structured weekly meeting. There's 10,500 of these weekly meetings around the world. And the agenda is exactly the same, whether it's in Moscow, Melbourne, or Manchester. The agenda is exactly the same. But, you know, obviously the culture changes a little bit about the vibe, but the agenda's the same. But when you're there, that's the show. The show is the meeting, but the real work is done outside of the meeting. Because if you know who you want to get as a referral and you can articulate that really well and explain it to your referral partners, something happens in our reticular activation system where we go, oh yes, Braith is looking for dot, dot, dot. Now, if you say, you know, Braith wants to meet the marketing manager of Toyota Brighton and you're that specific and you find out that person's name is John Smith and you go, Braith wants to speak to John Smith, the marketing manager of Toyota Brighton, you might not know that person, but might know Sue Jones at Mazda Brighton. So you'd say, Braith, I don't know the guy that you asked for, but I know Sue, who is two doors. Now, do you reckon that's likely that Sue would be a great referral for me? Of course it is.
Yeah.
But when you've made it really specific, our brain has the ability to latch on. And when you back that up with a story, we can remember what is being asked for. But if you said to me, I'll give you a classic example, real estate agents, I'm looking for anyone who wants to sell their home in the next 3 years. Yeah. Well, you know, that's so broad. It's like our brain just goes too hard, shut down.
Yeah.
And we just can't grasp with that. But you get really specific with the name and you might not remember the name, you might not remember the company, but you'll remember the circumstance and you'll go, Braith's looking for marketing people in car. You know, it's very easy for you to latch onto that, but they'll remember the story. So if you tell a story of how you helped somebody else in a similar role, that's the gold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love that. So I'd love to hear some of your stories because obviously you love BNI so much that you went from being a member to buying it.
Yes.
Yeah. So it clearly made a big difference for you in your life. And I'd love for you to talk about that. But then also, how did you decide to become an author? And what is laughter yoga? So many questions.
How much? So I think one of the things that makes us human is a desire to help other people. Mm. And when we step out of making it all about ourselves and we start to make it about other people, the magic of the universe happens. And, you know, for people who are new to this, prosody and BNI, we call it giver's gain. When you start helping other people, stuff comes back to you tenfold. I'll exemplify that. If you have ever volunteered or anything anywhere ever, everyone would know that they get more out of that experience than they give in. Very few people volunteer and say, it was horrible, I didn't like it. Most people will say, I loved it, I got so much out of it. You mightn't get financial reward, but you'll get satisfaction, you'll get a sense of altruism. All of those good chemicals will build up in your system and you'll feel good about yourself. And at the same time, you're doing good for the world. It's exactly the same in business. When you start to realize that, really, here's the thing, any business is simply here to solve somebody else's problems. That's all a business does, right? That's the purpose of business. And if you can be the person that helps those people's problems get solved, and you really have a desire to make that happen, you just don't say the words, but you really want to make that happen, that's very purposeful and intentional, and you have that backed up with your values, that's when people just rave about who you are. And so for me, I could see that Ben and I was able to help people to move forward in their business and their life. And I have seen amazing things happen with people and their businesses through B&I, and growth and revenue and personal and professional development. And I realized that I had been brought into this business because, remember, in the 80s, I learned how to network, and I was right. doing it. I started another networking group for myself in the 90s when I moved to another city. I didn't even know that was a thing. But so funny that I monetized that. I didn't think to do that at the time, but if I did, I would have been clever. But you know, I'd been doing that stuff for a really long time. And I thought, wow, I've been brought to this business because I've got a skill set. Mm-hmm. And it is unique. And I realized that a few years in as being a member. And wow, I can actually really help other people to move forward. Because one of my true purposes in life is to give people freedom. I really want freedom in people's lives because, you know, freedom and ease is what we're doing it for. And when you have a great business that makes great money that you are in control of, your life can be amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And I think so many times, though, there's so many schools of thought on it, right? Because a lot of entrepreneurs feel like you have to grind and you have to work 70 hours and you have to sacrifice everything. And that isn't why we want to go into this business.
No.
Business for ourselves. We want to have that freedom and that ease that you're talking about, and that flexibility for the other parts of our lives that sometimes we have to be flexible for.
Do you want to know a little secret?
I'd love to, yes.
So about 7 or 8 years ago, I bought this business with a business partner, lovely lady, but she was at towards the end of her business life and I was well and truly in the middle of mine. And so we had very different ideas about how the business would serve us. And it became a real grind for me and I wasn't enjoying it. We weren't making lots of money for the both of us and it just really felt like hard work. And I got some coaching from somebody and she sat me down and she said, what is it that you really want? And when I was able to articulate that and I knew that I wanted to run the business by myself, I made that decision and I went to my business partner and I said, look, I don't think this is going the direction that we would like it to go. I want to buy you out and help you to retire earlier. And after a little bit of toing and froing, she agreed. I paid a lot more than we had agreed on the amount, but you know, what's money at the end of the day? Because what happened was, as soon as I had taken the business over fully by myself and I had changed my mindset from being an employee of my own business to being a business owner.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like you, I have to work 80 hours a week. I was working 80, 90 hours a week. It was hard work. It was like, you know, I had this pride that I was working really hard. But the reality is, it was just yucky. And as soon as I realized I can outsource this, I can outsource this, I can bring somebody in to do this, I started hiring some really great people to work for me, I would work less today than I worked 7 years ago in hours, and I would make 10x what I made then.
Wow.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until
the Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
So that mindset shift to move from employee of your own business to a true business owner, because here's the test. If you can't go away on holidays with the phone off for 6 weeks, you're just an employee of your business. And, you know, I just recently, I had 7 weeks away. No problem.
Same.
You know, well, Australians like holidays. Yeah. Australians like holidays are the best advice. But, you know, 7 weeks away, no problem. The business was absolutely fine. I trusted my team. I knew it would get results. I still made my income. But that took a lot of work to get to that point. And, you know, it's a mindset shift. When I say work, it wasn't hard. It was like planning, strategizing, putting the right people in the right roles. And it doesn't matter where you are in your business.
Boom.
Oh, here's a really great tip. If you're a solopreneur and you want to grow your business, write an org chart for your business and fill in all the different roles. And in the first year, your name will be in every single one of those roles. Like, it right down to cleaner, like fill out every single role. And then over time, find people to fill in those jobs and then tick them off. And the sense of pride you'll have when you tick off those roles will be so great. You'll be so proud of yourself. And that's a way to really move yourself forward. And, you know, you asked me about how I became an author. I became an author because I was able to free up time in my life to start doing other things that I could help people get impact from. And so, you know, I'd had a Bell's palsy. I had a paralysis in my face. And one of the things that I learned to do with that was laughter yoga, which is a therapy. And I discovered it. I loved it. I laugh a lot, as you can probably tell anyway. And I just went, wow, this is really cool. And I started doing that. And then, you know, you probably know in Australia, we had really long, hard lockdowns and we were locked away for a long time. And so I was doing these laughter yoga courses, programs online for my members and people that wanted to join. And people kept on saying, do more, do more. And it got to the point where I thought, this is becoming a job. It's not what I intended. So I thought, well, I'll write a book to help people so I can give that book to people to use to help them to use laughter and breath work, because laughter yoga is really a gateway to breath work.
Nice.
To help them in their business. And because I'm a business person, I have, you know, so people look at me in a certain way. So I wrote it for that audience. Again, know your target market. So I knew that that was the audience I was writing for, because most books in that arena are written for, you know, not written for business people. So I use business language. I context the stories I had were in the business situations. And yeah, people just loved it. And it was another way of serving. And look, I didn't do it to make money. I didn't do it because I wanted to create a career, because people ask me all the time. You know, I did it because it was a way of me serving the world. And, you know, I'm lucky that I have a business that enabled me to do that. So cool, right?
It's so cool. And I love it. And just your enthusiasm for everything. Your exuberance, and you have a very approachable manner. And so it shows me that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And the things, when you say that you're trying to serve the world, you really are trying to serve. And it comes through so clearly. So thank you, because you're bringing a lot of joy to me. And I know you're going to bring a lot of joy to the people listening to this episode as well.
Oh, thank you.
And when we talk about being busy and like having the grind, I know that one of the things you also like to dispel is the busy myth, right?
Yeah.
You've worked with high achievers, clearly, your whole career. So, what else should we know about the busy myth? And, you know, you gave us some good tactics for if you're a solopreneur, putting your name in and then finding people to replace, making sure you're coming in with a frame of mind of, can you take a vacation with your phone off and the business will succeed? So what are some other things that can help us get out of this mindset where we think we just have to, oh, we're busy, 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 right? And get to doing what we really need to do. And that'll lead into my next series of questions about the hottest trends that you're seeing in marketing. AI is such a hot trend, but I think people need to know what else is out there, right?
I know where you're going. Well, look, so for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been documenting these traits and behaviors of people that I have in my world that I perceive as really successful. And I started to notice that the really, really successful people in the world, and these are people that I deem to be successful, that I think would say they were successful, they seem to have ease and flow in their life. I think that's success. They all shared a very similar trait, and that was that they were never busy when you asked them to do something or when you asked to engage with them.
Yeah.
So they always gave me the time of day to listen to what I was asking and to be present with what I was asking. And some of them, whatever I was asking for, it wasn't in their world. And so they would say, this is not for me right now, but I appreciate you bringing this to me. Thank you. And like, that's a really nice way of saying, you know, not for me. Because they gave me the time of day, so you can't be upset with that. But what I realized was there's been a lot of build-up of being busy. So a lot of people I hear who I see who are, I would say, are not highly successful, they use busy as an excuse. So they say, I'm too busy to do dot, 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 whatever. So you ask them to do stuff. And I started to do some research on the word, and the word has a really fascinating usage in the English language. Busy in historical times, pre-industrial times, used to mean when you were sowing the crops or reaping the harvest. So that's when you were busy. So that meant that you had stuff on and you had a task to do and you needed to do it, and it was time bound and we had to get it done. And that was my focus. And that was a really good use of that word. But over time, and I think it started to happen in the 80s, because I was around during the 80s, and I think when my research showed me that in the 80s, when technology started to creep in, people started to somehow feel that to justify their existence, they had to say to their employer or to the people around them that they were busy. And somehow, the perception has become that when you're busy, your importance is somehow elevated. So over the last 30, 40 years, busy has, in the common usage, people believe that they sound like they're more elevated, more important, more useful, more valuable because they're busy. But ultimately, what's happening is you are telling your vagus nerve, this is a nerve that runs all throughout our body, that when you're busy, we're in fight or flight or hide. And you constantly say, I'm busy. You're saying to your body, I'm agitated. And so without realizing it, in society, we're starting to feed our vagus nerve this anxiety and this fight or flight response. And the more you feed that, it becomes a circulating system that you become to feel more agitated and you become to feel like there's less time and you don't have the ability to stop and smell the roses, so to speak. And so this can be even people who've got kids or people who are business owners or, you know, university students. The minute you start using that word, you start creating an energy around you, yourself. And I know that when I had periods where I've had a lot to do, and if I haven't stayed present to what I'm doing, I can actually create a feeling of angst around myself. I'm sure you've felt the same
thing
too. We all do it. It's like, it's what we do. It's what we're built for. But my favorite word is, and my word for 2024 is equanimity. So I think it's a fabulous word. It basically means when stuff comes to you, good or bad, you plow through it with stability and ease. And so nothing really affects you. And so people who can be in a state with a lot of stuff happening around them and they have a state of equanimity, they seem to be calm. It's because they are calm, because they're choosing not to let the stuff out there that they have to get done. Like, I'm not saying you haven't got stuff to do. We've all got stuff to do, but their nervous system isn't being attacked by all this anxiety. And then the beautiful thing starts to happen. When you're in a state of equanimity or ease or calm, people around you sense that. Because, you know, when you walk into a room and you go, this room's got a bad vibe, it's because the people in that room have got angst or anxiety or tension. But conversely, you walk into a party and you go, wow, that's got a really great vibe because people are uplifted. So, right, we feel energy, right? We know in our own life we feel it. So what are we saying to people when you say, I'm busy? You know, I'm so busy, I can't do that right now. I know I can't take that on, I'm too busy. We're also not only feeding ourselves, we're saying to people around us, no, I'm not open to opportunity. So if you're an entrepreneur and you keep saying, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, opportunity is going to stop coming to you because people will not present ideas, opportunities, and they won't engage with you because no one wants to talk to somebody that's constantly saying they're busy because it's icky to be around, right? Yeah. So the energy of that busy person, and I'm using their words, is repellent, but the energy around somebody who has a lot on but they're in a state of calm, you kind of want to hang with them. And you know, you say, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. I think really what that saying should mean is give something to somebody who has a lot on but knows how to manage it.
Yeah.
That is the key to it. Because then if we're in a calm state, we can achieve much more. You can delegate and you can say no. Saying no comes from a place of confidence in where you're at. So if you've got a lot on and you know that you can't serve that particular person, you can say, I can't serve that for you right now because it's not in my capacity to do that, but I really appreciate you bringing that opportunity to me. You don't feel annoyed by that. Somebody says, I can't do it because I'm too busy. You're like, oh, screw you. Type of thing. You know, right? It's what you do, right?
Yeah, it's all in the framing. I really appreciate the way that you're framing. And I think this is going to give people listening a lot to think about in terms of how we move through the world and what words we choose to associate with ourselves.
Yes. Words have power. And busy is an ugly word that diminishes your power in the world. So I take that word and banish it from your vocabulary and just bring in equanimity. I have equanimity in my life and I can plow through anything and everything is possible.
I love that. Now say it 5 times fast. Just kidding.
And then click your heels.
Exactly. So this is fantastic. And I'd love to hear, because you clearly have your finger on the pulse of marketing. You know how people can network, how they can gain more sales, how they can utilize these relationship building. What do you see as the upcoming trends? I know this year has been really about AI and how to use it. Is it going to take people's jobs? What are the, you know, for me, I see AI is still something big and podcasting as a medium has become really big and ever growing. Yeah. People are realizing the power of this. Like, we would never meet if it weren't for this platform. And I'm like, we are going to be staying in touch. If you're ever out here, you have to come visit.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, this year, I'm a member of the Australian Marketing Institute, and I was one of the judges for the Australian Marketing Awards this year. And one of the things that was very obvious was, no matter the size of the business, businesses were using technology to speak directly to their ideal customer. And this is something that really has only started to happen in the last few years with software and AI. And it means that we can target our messages much more clearly and directly. And if you've got a tight marketing budget, you really need to nail where that lands, because if it's landing all over the place, you're wasting money, right? Like Henry Ford said, I know marketing works. I just, 50% of my marketing works. I just don't know which 50%, right? But this way, you know, Henry Ford today would go, you know, I can get my marketing to work 100% because I can target it really, really well.
Right.
And you can speak using the language of your audience directly to them. So AI is not going to take anyone's jobs away. People, it's not taking your jobs away. What it's going to do, and I've seen this since the 80s, because I remember when fax machines started, and I thought that was going to, we're all going to live, you know, 12-hour weeks and live on the beach. Well, that never happened. But what technology has done, I've seen it with faxes, I've seen it with mobile phones, I've seen it with the internet, I've seen it over the last few years with AI. What it means that we can do is we can serve our customers better, connect with them more easily, and really achieve more with less resources. That means our companies can grow. And as our companies grow, we get to engage with the people that we want. We build more profit, which means that we can really speak to the absolute target market that we're after. Because the world's growing in population, so there is like buckets of opportunity. So this is not a finite thing that we're playing. This is not a finite game that we're playing. Until they come up with a new form of economy, this is the game we're playing. Okay? So AI simply is there for us to get better, faster at speaking to the people that we know want to follow us and become our tribe. It's a brilliant tool. So if you're not using AI, do not freak out. Go play with it. It is amazing. There's plenty of resources out there. You know, I would encourage everyone to do that. But software like my CRM, for people who don't know that, it's a customer relationship management tool. It's where you keep all your data for your customers. We can target really clearly people with a particular communication that have a specific interest. So in BNI, if we have a vacancy for a chiropractor, chiropractor, for example, if we've had chiropractors that have visited us, we can send out a message just to those chiropractors saying, hey, chiropractor, we have a vacancy in this group for a chiropractor. Would you like to come and see whether this is a good fit for you? So we could never have done that 5 years ago. Like, we would have had to gone through that manually. It would have been a pain. It would have been difficult. And we can craft the language because we can ask AI to write the message or the text message or the email or even our social media outreach, whatever method we use, AI can write it for you. So you're not spending, you know, 2 hours writing your SMS, your email, your social media post, or whatever other method you're using to communicate. It's done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like you've got an hour and 55 minutes. What are you going to use that for? Let's do something constructive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, to your point, AI is not going to take over because we still need the human component to make sure it is in the brand tone and voice. That the names are spelled, you know, that things are spelled correctly, that the information you're serving is, because I see that with, I use AI a lot for my podcast because it spits out great, you know, here are five titles and here are your show notes and here's your transcript and here's a blog post and here's captions. But still sometimes I'm like, okay, well, that's misspelled, or you think I'm a free speaker, people are being interviewed, like little tweaky things. So you still have to have the human component to, you know, to manage the process.
And it starts with the question. So I think if you look at AI or any of the software that we're using, the output is only as good as the input. If you ask it the right questions in the right way, so whenever I'm asking AI to do something, I say, this is the tone that I want. This is the intended audience. This is the outcome that I'm looking for. And this is the style of language that I'm looking for it to be written in. And then I put that in, and it's never perfect. It's like, it's never right. So you still have, and like in Australia, we get American spelling. It drives me mad. We don't use Zs, we use Ss. It's crazy. But, you know, so we have to edit that out. And so, you know, you get that first message and then you have a conversation. But it's exactly the same with any of your live team members. You just don't go and say to your bookkeeper, go and reconcile my books. You say, I want these reconciled because this is what I want to have happen. And these are the things that you need to be doing. You've got to give instructions. It's just like a person. You've got to tell it what you want. Right. Otherwise, it'll make up what it thinks you want. And it's never right if you don't give it the instructions. So you're right. The people are driving that. And I'll tell you something that I read yesterday. It was super cool. This is hot off the press. I read that there's researchers in Germany that have created a microchip interwoven with a human brain cell, and they have proven that it does simple arithmetic.
Why not?
And they've proven that the human brain cells can actually compute faster than the microchips can, because microchips have to pull information from lots of different places, which actually slows stuff down. Whereas the nature of our brains is we have all these neurons that are all woven in together, firing and wiring and creating neural networks at super, super fast, because it's all just there. Whereas the microchips are bringing it from all over the place. So that made me realize that, you know, despite what we may think, we still are really, really smart organic lumps of meat that can do all sorts of amazing stuff, right? It's amazing. Like, look at, we're having a conversation on other sides of the world about a really interesting topic. You know, an AI machine ain't doing that yet.
Yeah, true. Very true. You know, I know, Braith, there's so much more that we can cover, but I also want to be cognizant of time and how long my episodes usually go and what
people... I know. I could talk forever. I'm sorry.
No apologies at all. We're going to just have to continue the conversation and see how else we can bring you back on, at the end of next year to talk about more things. But I will put your website, braithbamkin.com, in the show notes, which has free resources. And you also have paid courses, which we didn't even get into. But, so this is for just... peeling a little bit of the onion away of who is Braith Bamkin and how did he become this amazing, fabulous marketer. So I'd love to see if you have any last thoughts, and do you have a favorite quote or mantra?
I absolutely do. I say this all the time. I say it, if you think you can or you think you can't, you are absolutely right. I love that. I've been saying it for years, but it's so true. And today, more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a fun conversation and so and that's my favorite. When the conversation just flows, but I still know that it's going to add so much value to me when I listen to it again, and also to all of my listeners and viewers. So thank you, Braith, and thank you, Your Brand Amplified family, for coming to another episode. I'll be back again in a few days with another fantastic expert to help you in your business journey. Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika. As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.